this week in the month of November, and as the year finally winds itself up, the church presents us in the first reading in the Gospel with what I call the plight of the poor widow. The widow that was assisted by Elisha, the prophet, and then, of course, the poor widow at the temple who gave all that she had to live on. Both cases remind us of those in need. And back then, a widow's plight was serious because there was no social assistance or centre link or centre care. The state didn't provide for those on their own, especially if they had children. And generally, they couldn't work apart from domestic chores, and thus putting food on the table was no small deal, unless, of course, family stepped in. And the church is our spiritual family. Mother Church steps in, and the church provides for those in need. During November, we also think about those who have died. We pray for the dead. We visit the cemetery, because they are not forgotten. Just because they're passed on into eternal life, we don't forget them. As we have loved them in life, we don't forget them in death. So these works put before us are what we term the works of mercy or the works of charity. Because it's God's charity or grace that impels us, urges us on, as faithful Christians in his body, the church, to help those in need, to provide for their needs, not necessarily for their wants. And these works of mercy or charity, there are seven for the body and seven for the soul. Seven that are spiritual and seven that are physical or material. And these are those for the body, the material needs of mercy or works of mercy. Some of them come from this weekend's readings. For example, feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, nutrition and hydration, clothe the naked, provide for the homeless, number four. And all of a sudden we see the marvellous work of St. Vincent de Paul that does those things, gives you clothing, food and drink, and can provide shelter, a place to lay your head. They're the four main works of mercy for the body. Then we add these three, that we visit those who are sick in nursing homes when we're permitted. Please God, COVID restrictions will pass, and those who are lonely and abandoned, perhaps even bereft of human company, may now find people visiting to be with them and assist them. We also visit those in prison, if a prison's nearby, because they are restricted in their freedoms and are worthy of our attention. They are in need. And lastly, we bury the dead. Generally, we don't dig graves, but in the past, it wasn't uncommon to have a group of people allied to the church who would be the grave diggers for those in need. And those seven are your seven works of mercy for the body. The less common, and perhaps even more important, are these seven works of mercy for the soul. Now, the first one's easy. It's education. Instruct the ignorant. We've always had this desire to provide an education for those poor Catholics out there. And how many religious founders in the past have been inspired with that ideal? How many teachers live out this value on a weekly basis? Educate the ignorant. Lead them to the truth. The second one is to counsel the doubtful. People who are perhaps suffering from anxiety, anguish. To be a counsellor, a good listener, is a work of mercy. To assist them. give them some help and direction. When they find that the fog of the future is too much and feel like falling in a hole, we can pick them up. Sometimes just by listening and giving them some guidance. Number three, console those who are mourning. Be there for those who are grieving, those who have perhaps lost a child or a loved one. Comfort them in their sadness. And of course, pray also for the dead. We've been doing that this week. People came to the cemetery, we blessed graves. People have attended Mass to pray for those who have died. They're your four main works of mercy for the soul. The next three aren't so common, and I have to admit they're somewhat difficult. Number five is to bear wrongs patiently. In other words, put up with that fool on the phone when you're trying to work out some aspect of your insurance or your electricity bill, and you've been put off and you've spent an hour waiting and you can't get through to the right person. You think, oh, and then someone comes on and says, can you explain all this to me again? You think, oh, you know, bearing wrongs patiently. In other words, you've done nothing wrong, they're the fool, and you have to tolerate them. Why? Because God tolerates us. So we put up with them. We put up with ourselves at times. The next is to admonish the sinner. Yes, you must correct people when they do something wrong, contrary to God's will. We don't mind correcting people when they do something against the road code in driving. We beep the horn to correct them. And when people aren't wearing their mask or not doing the right thing with all these hygiene rules, we do correct them. Well, in like manner, we should correct people when they break God's laws. They're harming their soul. They need to be helped to realign their will with God's. We ought to do that more often. One reason why we don't do it is because we're living in an age of relativism that shies away from being exacting according to God's will. We kind of think, well, let them work it out. We can't be dictators. And besides, it's not very tolerant. Tolerance is often misunderstood and misapplied in moral matters. We are obliged to correct those who are falling away from God's ways. And lastly, we must pray for the sinner, pray for those who persecute us. Pray for those who don't like us and make our lives misery. In other words, pray for our enemies. That's a hard ask. Forgive them and put up with them. We don't like doing that, but that's part and parcel of these seven works of mercy for the soul. And we ask God for the grace to help us let go of those who have hurt us and want them to want what's best for them and their soul and salvation. And that's part of the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us as we forgive those who sin against us. So there are seven works of mercy for the soul. We ask God to help us live them out, to practice them, so that we too might give solace, company, and assistance to those in need in our community around us.